This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To Willard and Dibs.
Just a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, the Bay is full of good questions right now because the Warriors are the only ones who have answers. They're the only ones right now who have the answer. And the answer was Jimmy Butler. And we have another answer that we'll get to a little bit later on the show, which is when is Jonathan Kuminga playing? We got the answer. He's in for Thursday night. But in right now on the River Islands guest line, we always love it here on Willard and Dibs when we get an opportunity to bring on Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, and the TK Pod, which most recently had Mike Dunleavy Jr. So we'll get to some of that a little bit later on after Niners free agency stuff. Tim, what's going on? Thanks for doing it.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Been a little busy this week, huh? Yeah. Got some things going on.
Some stuff cooking.
Busier than the Niners, you know what I mean, who are just sitting there watching everybody leave. Nice. So SF Standard, great article. Want to get your perspective and share it with our audience in terms of what exactly, in terms of a business model, are the Niners doing right now?
I just think for a team that put a lot of money in, you know, up front, they did pay it over several years, and this is just not to the cap. This is the cash spending. It, you know, the big contracts for Debo, for Ayuk, for the extension for McCaffrey last year, the extension for Trent Williams last year, the Javon Hargrave contract 2 years ago. A bunch of these things, I think, you know, with football pushed, like the football side said, we got to sign these guys because we're going to win the Super Bowl while Brock Purdy's contract is low. Yeah, two things happen. Well, three things happen. Those guys, much of them got hurt and weren't very good, certainly last season, leading to a 6-11 season. Super Bowl, can't really just say let's push all in, get the Super Bowl, because those guys didn't do it. And you have the Brock Purdy contract now on the table, or whatever you want to say, maybe not on the table, but it's coming. And that's going to cost Jed York a lot of guaranteed money. Again, I always say it's cash, not cap. Because the cap number isn't going to go much higher in a Brock Purdy deal. Let's say it happens in a month or so. It'll probably be like a $15 million cap hit because the bonus is what shrinks it down. He gets this guaranteed money. The guaranteed money still has to be paid. And I think there's certainly a lot of looking forward to, like, ahead to what's that going to be like on Jed York's books. And there's a sense that these big money deals that they signed for these veterans weren't worth it anyway. And they're going to shy away from paying big money to 30-year-olds. Now, listen, they're still going to pay some money to 30-year-olds. I don't want to say, like, people hear that and go, they'll never pay anybody. I think they will extend George Kittle because he was great last year. I think they and probably will be great in the next few years. Same for Fred Warner. They might sign Joey Bosa, again, oft-injured 30-year-old, but that number might be pretty low. So it's kind of measuring things. There's always a push and a pull. Do you do it for the football team? Do you just got to get the guy in, or do you say, wait a minute, what's this really going to be looking like in a year or two? And maybe because of how good they were, there was a solid lean towards just get the guy in, Brandon Ayuk, just get him in, $30 million a year, whatever. Nick Bosa, $34 million a year. I think there is a hard, hard push, and we're really seeing it now. And I've been writing about it for several weeks now, and I did not expect it to come this hard on the last few days. But they're not going to pay a lot of money up front, guaranteed money. That's how you get free agents. That's how you sign extensions. They're just going to back away from that. 6-11 is what they're going to point to, and they're going to say, "Are these guys going to be better than they were last year when they're 1 year older?" I think that's kind of the atmosphere around 49ers HQ around that right now.
Is there a sense, Tim, of a shift in power from where Kyle Shanahan famously reportedly ran upstairs to stop the Brandon Ayuk trade, and that really hasn't worked out? Has ownership decided to maybe reassert control of personnel and finances and somewhat defanging Kyle Shanahan in this process?
Well, he never had control over the finances. So, I mean, it's kind of, as I said, it's a push and a pull. Sometimes you go one way, sometimes you go towards the middle, sometimes you go the other way. I know some great reporters have reported about that story run upstairs. Like, they weren't trading Brandon Ayuk in that moment. They weren't doing it. So I just roll my eyes at that. It is illustrative of that story being told, of the kind of tension maybe between the football side and the financial side, that they joke about, oh, we came to a deal, but I had to make sure he wasn't traded first. He was not getting traded in that moment. That's not true. But yes, there was some joking about it. I think there was some feeling, some awkwardness about that whole thing, as proven by the feelings that remain. There's frustration with that deal. There's frustration with the way you handled it. And I think the negotiating side, the financial side, is just because of 6-11, because they didn't like those deals. They went along with them. I would say they signed them, so they can't be too bitter about it. Like, they could have said, we are not doing this. Jed York could have said, I'm not doing this deal. He's the owner. They still did it because they thought they were, you know, putting together or keeping together a Super Bowl-level team. That was not a Super Bowl-level team, and they're 1 year older. So it's not like bringing them all back would have guaranteed a Super Bowl this year. I think that's a larger way to look at this. Javon Hargrave staying, and Dre Greenlaw staying, and Talanoa Hufanga staying, and Aaron Banks staying, I don't know that would have said, okay, that's a Super Bowl team. They went 6-11. Those guys did not play really well, and they've still got a lot of big salary guys on this roster. Now, they've got fewer of them than you would have imagined, but I do understand some of the sensibility here. And it's not loss of power, lack of power. It's just on a case-by-case basis, can Kyle Shanahan and Jed and John Lynch going, okay, we need this guy, absolutely must pay him everything because we're going to win a Super Bowl. Okay, maybe they can't say that anymore. And I think that has won out a few times over the last few years. They almost won a Super Bowl. I mean, like, two or three plays, and maybe there's an entire different feeling right now. It's the way the NFL is, so, you know, two or three plays in February decide a lot of things. And it kind of rolled into a bad year last year, and I think we're seeing management just say, we're not paying for these guys when they did not perform for us last year. If we can get out of them, we're going to get out of them. And, man, are they getting out of them.
Yeah, they sure are. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, the TK Pod, which has Mike Dunleavy. And for you Niner fans, very recently, Tim did a 49ers plus minus pod with Matt Barrow, so you can get the latest on what's going on there. Tim joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. So, Tim, what about this? I know, you know, sometimes it's funny when it's like, are teams rebuilding or are they planning to win? Like, I'm sure they're going to try to win every game and maybe they'll be ahead of schedule, but how do you think in this moment they do view it? Do they still see themselves in a Super Bowl window, or is this a little reboot that might take some time?
Yeah, I think you're paying Nick Bosa $34 million a year. You're paying George Kittle 18, you know, 16, whatever it is. You're paying Fred Warner 16. Christian McCaffrey's making 16. I think they think they can win the Super Bowl. I think what they're saying is they're not going to pay every single dollar possible to keep guys who did not perform last season. And they're going to pay Brock Purdy, you know, upwards of $50 million a year. I'm convinced of that at some point. So I think they do look at, you know, teams don't say, okay, let's just do this now because some team did it well. But I think there's some admiration, some respect for what the Rams did to kind of like shed them. You know, they piled up all these guys. Remember, they traded all their first round picks. They got all these veterans. They win a Super Bowl, and then they retool from there. And now they're stripped themselves of a lot of big salaries, and they're good. They won a division. Are they a Super Bowl team? Well, they almost beat the Eagles in the playoffs. So with a lesser, you know, named roster, you know, some of these guys on defense, you still kind of don't really know, but they're good. I think the 49ers are down that road. I hesitate to say they're just going to go that way because they saw the Rams do it. They probably wanted to do that anyway. Every team kind of thinks like that. Let's kind of retool on the fly. Let's still have stars, but maybe we're not paying to keep the guys who are not going to be stars anymore. I think that's the different kind of emphasis. And the Rams are good. Like, the Rams are just add Devontae Adams. Like, you can do that when you drop your pay down. You drop your cash spending. You haven't paid all these bonuses. And then you go back in a little bit. I think my sense is the 49ers will go back in at some point, and they might do it in the next few days. I don't know. Like, keep expecting them to, at some point, maybe get it. You sign Joey Bosa. It hasn't happened yet. I don't think they're offering a ton of money. I don't think anybody really is. So he's going to have to make a decision here, but there's no urgent deadline for him. He's Joey Bosa. But I don't think it's like, we're done. I don't think that they're paying these guys. What do you tell Fred Warner? Like, we're done? What do you tell Kyle Shanahan? What do you tell all these guys? Brock Purdy, come sign with us, and we're going to be bad for 2 years. No, that's not the thinking. It's just going to be done in a different way. And I just, the signal is the disappointment, the frustration with the Ayuk deal, with the Debo deal, with the Hargrave deal. Those are the three. I'd put Bosa in there just because it was such an unprecedented deal. But now he's no longer the highest paid defensive player in football. He was for 2 years, and they hate that, but they paid the salary that was the top in the defense for 2 years. Max Crosby just topped him. Myles Garrett just topped that one. So maybe that's less on the front burner. But the Hargrave one, like in terms of free agency, 30-year-old at the time, I think that's not something they want to duplicate.
And how much does that reality or that, come to Jesus moment affect what we're going to do with Brock Purdy? Because what you've said, Tim, I think is accurate, that they're not interested in laying out a lot of cash up front for deals, yet it's better off for them if they do that for Brock Purdy. And Josh Allen's number just came in below 60. Does all of this kind of complicate what Brock Purdy might ask for and what actually this might look like as we drag this thing into the spring and maybe the summer?
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, I think quarterbacks is acknowledged to be a different position. I don't know. We can all judge what it was like when Bosa didn't practice all through camp and into the preseason and was holding out, 2 years ago. And Ayuk, the same thing, and hold in, and Trent Williams. And, like, you can't do that with a quarterback, though. I mean, maybe you think you can survive it with players who aren't the quarterback. You can't really do – you can't have your quarterback miss a mini camp. You can't have them, holding out or holding in for training camp. So I think there's an acknowledgement that this one is different and they want the quarterback. I don't think they're going to break the bank for him, but quarterbacks make a lot, and I think there's an understanding that he will be offered a lot. Maybe he already has. It's going to be in terms of what's guaranteed, and I know this gets so complicated. I fight this fight all the time. It's not exactly the average annual value, although that's what we all say, including me, but it's what's the guarantee. How many years, basically, is this going to be guaranteed for? And I just don't think it's going to be guaranteed for as many years as, like, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. We've seen these other huge kind of Justin Herbert. I mean, I don't think it's going to be out there where he's like, no matter what, he's going to get paid for 4 or 5 years. It might be 3 years. Again, it's technicalities, and nobody reports it this way, so I'm fighting a losing battle. But I think when the dust is cleared, and if and when there's a Purdy deal, it'll be at a good number, and we're all going, oh my God, he's being paid. He's top 12, top 11 in average annual value, but maybe the guarantee is going to be lower. And basically, he's paid for 2 years guaranteed, or maybe 2.5, 3 years guaranteed. But that's not terrible for him. I mean, he'll be 25 now. If you say we'll cut you loose in 3 years, great, I'll be 28. And I think I'll get paid at 28 years old. I'll get paid again. So I think that we're looking at the possibility that the 49ers and Purdy come to a high number, middle term deal for guarantees, and maybe we start hearing about it again in 2 years. I do think this is separate from all the other stuff that we're hearing. And it's tied to it in one way. They're kind of clearing out money for them. Like, that's part of this. It's not all of this, but part of this is they paid all these guys while Purdy was making $800,000 a year. That is not going to be the case. And a lot of the mindset on Jed York or Perry Marate is, okay, when we're paying them $130 million guaranteed, that's going to change the dynamic of what we can pay everyone else. But that's how that's combined. It's not going to, you know, limit what they're paying Brock Purdy. It's kind of what's limiting everybody else.
Tim Kawakami with us on Willard and Dibs. Okay, so Tim, down to layman's terms, you're like sitting there getting coffee and a Niner fan comes up and recognizes you and goes, man, Tim, the Niners are being cheap. What's your answer to that fan?
That's fair to say for now, but let's see how the next few days go. Let's see what the roster looks like. I can't really argue with them with most of these decisions because the first day of free agency is when bad deals get made. Now, they're not all bad, but many of them are bad. Most of them are bad. And bowing out of that and not paying, you know, Javon Hargrave anymore or getting out from, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, we all know how valuable he's been, but he's a fullback they paid plenty to, 33 years old. Like, I can't really argue with a lot of these. Greenlaw would have been terrific for the locker room. He played a half in five plays last season. What's the injury risk there? I would just say, look at realistically, let's see how it ends up. Again, the first few days of free agency are when bad deals get made. And maybe the 49ers are playing it. They're going to make smart deals over days two and a half, three, four, five, six. Let's see what happens with Brock Purdy. Let's see how the roster fills up. Let's see if they can hit another draft. I don't like making ultimate decisions based on the hyperventilation of day one. You know, there's so many teams that have won the offseason and day one of free agency, and they actually lose during the regular season. Let's see it play out. Let's see who the roster is. There's still a lot of good players. And I think the real, real sign is what happens with Purdy. If Purdy is signed by end of April, beginning of May, and then you start hearing other players say they're cool with what's going on, they understand it, you know, that would be Kittle and Warner would be the big two. Trent would be in their three. And they've got good young players. If they do, if they've signed some bunch of other guys, then I think there might be a very different mood. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and I understand that, but I don't think they're just being cheap. They're being partly cheap. That's part of it. But they have paid a ton of money. Like, this is not a perpetually cheap team. This is a team that's paid out a lot of money. I don't think they're just going to say, let's be crappy and be cheap and let's all cheer Jed York's, you know, bank account every time the money goes up. I don't think that's what this is about. Let's see. Maybe it's what it's about. I don't think it is. And listen, they're paying their head coach and their general manager a ton of money, too. It would be a waste if you're throwing it all away. I think there's a plan. Let's see them execute it and let's see them sign some guys. But I just don't think you can make a full-scale decision on all things to an NFL franchise based on 2 days in March.
Should I be concerned that 10% of the team is reportedly up for sale and they might be interested in the Tampa Bay Rays if they're up for sale? The divestment of funds?
No, they're not. That's Eddie DeBartolo. He doesn't have any part of the 49ers anymore, so that's not them.
But the 10% sale of the team, would that be something that, as a fan, you should be concerned about, that maybe they're more interested in trying to recoup some money as opposed to spend money?
Yeah, I think that's maybe it has to do with the Premier League stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with the football team.
Okay.
Again, they've been investing in the Premier League for a long time. They make tons of profit every year. This is just what Jed York has decided that he wants the cash flow to be. They've paid it out. This is true. Now, they get to a run of three straight years where they're not top 10 in cash flow. That's a different situation. They have been way up there. They've paid all these guys. I give the owner leeway to do it once and say, okay, let's just back away from some of this stuff and let's try to remain. You know, listen, the Rams did the same thing and they got better. I think the 49ers said, let's do the same thing and let's get better. Let's get younger. Let's get better. Now, you still got to pay for some things, but I wouldn't just tie everything together because they are profitable. They are not losing money. They are an incredibly profitable team. Levi Stadium is a cash machine. So it's just kind of where they want the money to go, when they want to pay it. I think there is some frustration in, you know, how much I know there's frustration how much they paid out and go 6-11. If the Jim Harbaugh would not have been fired when he was, if they had won a Super Bowl, they will pay money and they will tolerate a lot of things if they're headed towards a Super Bowl. They thought they were, they didn't. They went 6-11. So I think it's a reaction to that. Maybe it's short-sighted. Maybe it's a little bit emotional, but I get some of this. And let's get to the place where the roster is a lot worse because, you know, listen, Aaron Banks leaving doesn't break everybody's heart. You know, there's reasons for some of these things. Let's see if they do Purdy. Let's see if some other things get taken care of. If there's a Kittle extension. And then I think some grand conclusions can be made. But at this moment, no. I would not tie everything you see on Twitter, X, whatever, and say that's the reason for all this. Let's see it all put together. And listen, there's cause for concern. They lost a lot of good players, and they haven't signed any, but I don't think they've lost anybody who's irreplaceable. I don't think they're out of the picture on signing some guys who could help.
Tim, before you go, Jonathan Kuminga back on Thursday. How big of a challenge is this with how well the Warriors are playing? How do you think Steve Kerr goes about injecting him back in?
Well, Kerr's signaled this for a while. Well, you know, cause we've been asking him for a while because we thought Kuminga might be back a while ago. It's taken a long time. It will be Thursday now. The signal is that they're going to slow play this. They just don't want pressure on him. They're playing so well. Like, the worst thing that could happen is you inject him back in a major 25-minute game role. He's not ready for it. It screws up a little bit of the rhythm of the chemistry, and then all of a sudden everyone's looking at him going, what the hell? Like, they don't want that, and they don't want that mostly for Kuminga. They don't want him feeling like he's kind of off speed with everything else. I think you see him, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. There are minutes available. They only played 9 last game. He could get some of those Gi Santos minutes, although kind of Kerr said, I got to play Gi Santos. I don't think you have to play Gi Santos, maybe some minutes. There's ways to get him in there. There's ways to work it in. And just, I don't think Kerr or the rest of the organization want this, like, oh my God, they won the game or lost the game because of Jonathan Kuminga's minutes. They're 12-2 over the last 14. They're going well. Now, they lose a couple, and then maybe they switch up the rotation to get Kuminga involved more. You know, I could see that, depending on how he goes. But I think there's going to be a lot of caution about expecting too much and having Kuminga expect too much. He's got a lot of things going on. He's got the contract obviously coming up in the summertime. He's been watching this happen. He's been out for a long time. But he could really fit this. It would be really interesting to see he and Jimmy Butler together, the two guys just kind of ramrodding their way to the basket, getting fouls and getting the other team in foul trouble and creating space. I don't know that that's going to be the same as they do right away, but I'm sure curious to see it because you could see a career path for Kuminga that's very similar to Jimmy Butler. I don't know that he'll ever be as good as Butler, but he could be in a similar style. He just simplifies his game, doesn't expect too much from every play. We see it from Butler. Sometimes he gets a little frustrated, like, Jimmy, would you just shoot the ball? But he's intent on, like, I'm going to dribble it here, and then I'm going to pass it over there. And that person is going to pass it to somebody else, and it's going to be the right thing. Kuminga could learn a lot from that, and I think he is learning a lot from that, but it's subtle. It's not right away. Hey, maybe he shows up and scores 30 in the first game. I just don't think that's the way they've had it set up. Get a minor role, work his way into it, don't overhype it, and just see how it goes.
Tim, great stuff. Loved, like I told you earlier, loved the article. Thought it was really, really educational with what the Niners are doing. Thanks for hopping on today.
You got it, guys.
All right, there he goes. Tim Kawakami, and again, the podcast, the 49ers Plus Minus Pod with Matt Barrows recently, and the TK Show with Mike Dunleavy Jr., who, by the way, has not gotten enough love since the Jimmy Butler trade. I was diving in a little bit deeper to this just earlier this week in the fact that Dunleavy was the one who really needed to spend some time with Steve Kerr to pitch him on Jimmy Butler in the locker room, on the court. This is how it would work. Not that Steve, I don't know how hesitant he was, but we remember this. Mike Dunleavy's been a teammate of Jimmy Butler's.
Exactly.
And Steve was like, never met the guy. So, like, it stands to reason that Dunleavy was the one who kind of had to massage that on the way in, and my goodness, he was right.
He sure was right, and you can talk about the he was right moments for Mike Dunleavy since he's really taken the job, and Quentin Post would be another one.
There you go.
He was right about Quentin Post, a 24-year-old rookie who's now, I believe, 25, either today or coming up here in the next few days. He's going to be 25, and, well, that one worked out, and Mike Dunleavy's brother, the agent for Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was better last year than he was this year, but still he's a piece and pods, and we can play the Mike Dunleavy was right game, and there's more Mike was right than there is Mike was wrong.
Quentin Post will be 25 in 10 days, March 21st.
There you go.
Next Friday.
And Steph's birthday is, I think, before that.
Steph's coming up real
soon. Steph's on Friday.
Steph is on. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Grady.
On
and he'll also be 25.
You can always remember Steph's birthday because it's that Pi Day thing.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It is. What's wrong with
It's. I'll save it for Friday.
Please don't.
There's a lot that's bugging me. And you know what's bugging me is that every day has to be something. May the 4th be with you.
What's wrong with that?
Get the truck out of here.
Yeah, if they called it Dan Dibley Day, you wouldn't have such a problem with
August
it.
August 15th.
Yeah, no.
How many digits of pi do you have memorized, Dibs?
3.14159.
I think it's a 2 after that.
Yeah, it goes it way is a 2. Past that.
Yeah.
It goes on forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know the end of it.
Infinite. There is no end. How about that?
It's infinitesimal.
That's right. Thank you.
3.14159. And I think it is a 2 after that, which is hilarious.
2. We're sponsored by Safeway. 888-957-9570 is the number. Steve Kerr in an hour and a half. Coming up next, Ian Rappaport attempts to calm 49er fans down. And let's get into, A, the return of Jonathan Kuminga. And, hey, Warrior fans. Like, it's just going so well. Do you have any concerns left? And if so, what are they? We'll take your phone calls. This is Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're moving toward Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr. Yeah. At 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to sometimes.
So you do that for like everything I say for the rest of the show?
Rest of the show.
Okay. I mean, it's one way to do it.
To do it.
It's allowed.
It's allowed.
Yeah. All right. Okay, now I'm done with the
yeah,
exactly.
It's super annoying. I'm a big fan of the 10 to 2 show, and occasionally he'll say something, and he'll say something. And every time he does it, I'm like, I love this.
Yeah, it is pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
There you go. You just did it.
I did it. But I did it to myself, so then it's okay. You know what else has been annoying this week?
What, Mark?
Niners free agency.
Yeah.
But guess what? I can make it better. I can make it better in not two notes, like the old Name That Tune.
Wow, you're old.
Old, super old.
Super old.
Does anybody know? Hey, Grandy. Grandy, do you know what Name That Tune is? Do you even know what the hell that is?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're good. See, some things are timeless.
What is it?
Game show where you play a song and you have to name that tune.
Like there are moments where...
He's an old soul.
Yeah, so. I know, but I use him as a marker more than Lucas because Lucas has got his head in the damn clouds. So he don't know what the hell's going on. But Grandy's a man about town. Right? He's fancy. He gets invited to Steph Curry parties. He could shoot a ball.
And he hangs out with his parents.
Exactly.
Which I think is awesome.
I think it's great.
Super cool.
My hope is that my kids someday respect me. We'll see if we get there.
One day I asked him how old his parents were, and it was dangerously close to how old I am. And so I've never asked him about that again.
That's the end of that.
They're older than you.
Barely.
Have they turned 60 yet?
Oh, yeah, they're well above 60.
Oh, well above... Oh, gosh, they're decades away from me. It's unbelievable.
Meanwhile, I'm knock, knock, knocking on 60's door.
Damn right. Yeah. Don't worry, those birthdays are fun, man. Steiny got called by Steph Curry. I got called by Bruce Bochy and a bunch of other people, too. You should look forward to your 60th birthday.
Yeah. I just want to be ignored.
You're still here.
All right, Mark, happy birthday again.
That's the end of the interview.
Hey, Mark, this is Boch.
That's pretty cool.
Still one of my favorite 1 minute interviews in the history of my career.
It was awesome.
It was incredible. Anyway, I can make it better in two sound bites.
Okay.
Two sound bites. First of all, I don't know how many of you were paying attention, but the general manager of the 49ers goes by the name of John Lynch. He told you 3 weeks ago that this is what they were going to do.
You know, I think since Kyle and I've been here, we've been, certainly a top five, I believe, number two cash spending team. You know, in the last 5 years, I think or 4 years going into the fourth year, I think we're the fourth highest cash spending team. So we're at some point, you have to reset a little bit or at least recalibrate. You can't just keep pressing the pedal. And I think there's some good that can come out of it. We need to get younger. You know, I think we're the oldest team in football, trying to make a run at the deal last year. And I think it's good to constantly get younger. Our draft class last year was a great move towards that. We'll have 4 picks in the top 100. If the comp picks happen like we see it, that's always a calculation. You know, we'll have 10 picks overall, and we're excited about adding more youth to a great core of players that we already have.
So, like, you don't have to agree with it anymore than you did yesterday or today or whatever, but I don't think... Here's kind of what I mean. I don't think the Niners are like getting beat to a bunch of people this week. I don't think that they want to be signing the people that they have not signed this week.
That's fair to say.
Good.
But, you know, and I don't want to get into this like, well, then who do they have in their place? And you'll say, we don't know yet. And I'll say, well, what we have is not good enough. And you'll say, we don't know what they have. It's March. And so
we
don't have to do that dance. All I know is that what they've done in the past is spend a lot of money. And what they've done in the past is win a lot of games. And so 1-6-11 year is now making you realize, oh, we're old and we spend a lot of money. We spend a lot of cash. So now we have to reset. And anytime you're in the front office and you use an R word, reset, rebuild, reload.
Recalibrate. Yeah,
regress.
But you're
they're all bad.
How about another R word, which is remember? You're misremembering. The 49ers have not always spent tons of cash and gone to the Super Bowl. That's really a function of the last 2.5 seasons.
Or more, yeah.
They went to a Super Bowl out of the gate before people thought they were going to get there, and they weren't doing that yet. And here is the second sound clip. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Rappaport.
About the 49ers, I'm sure their fans are going crazy. I'm sure. But this is what really good teams should do, right? You should let guys who are looking for third contracts or guys who you can't afford to pay leave, and you draft and develop behind them. Like, that's what, you know, for the Patriots for years did that. The Ravens do it. Steelers do it. Like, the Chiefs certainly do it. The really good teams can let their big ticket free agents go, knowing that they have the confidence in the personnel department to draft behind it.
Okay.
That was abrupt.
A little bit of an abrupt ending there. But anyway, you get the idea. If you do look at the history of the league and the teams that have built themselves a little bit of a resume and a reputation, a couple more R words there, this is what you have to do. I'm not going to argue with you about whether or not it's scary. That's the word I used a week ago. It's a little scary. I don't love it when teams come out and start talking about money with their fans. That's not fun. And largely, fans do not want to hear it. They do not want to hear that you want to save money. Nobody wants to hear it. But it is funny. It is funny that we will sit there and we will get very upset about inflated bad contracts that you, quote, shouldn't sign. And then when you sit out the first day of free agency, Tim Kawakami's words moments ago, first day of free agency, most deals are bad, not all, most. That's where the mistakes usually happen. And then we get mad when they're not involved in that. Like maybe, give you another R word, maybe the Niners are being responsible right now. Maybe this is a great thing that's happening right now.
Or maybe they're looking at another R word, which is a regression. Because to just automatically say, well, I mean, Kansas City just replaced guys in the draft. Let's go back not one draft, but two drafts and look what the 49ers did. And you look at Jake Moody and Cameron Latu and Daryl Luter and Robert Beal and Braden Willis and Ronnie Bell.
Sure.
That was your draft, really, really bad. And Jair Brown, I left out because I don't know what he is.
Not great.
I'm looking at nine. Not great, Bob. I'm looking at nine picks, and I look at Moody. Nobody wants him around. Latu never played. Luter, no. Beal, no. Winters, is he going to replace Greenlaw?
You're actually underselling how bad it was.
Well, because their first-round pick was gone.
Exactly. Because his name was Trey Lance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to just, like, automatically, 2024,
no,
amazeballs. No, they're going to do it again.
No, no automatic. No.
Well, that's what that second soundbite that was supposed to make me feel good was centered around.
Well, the draft hasn't happened yet. Is it going to be 2 years ago or last year? I don't know, but I think the point he's making is this is the job of a team. This is always the job of an NFL team. And so we're uncomfortable with something happening right now that, quite frankly, is inevitable and probably the right process if they hit on it. And that's why
it's a big if.
Well, I mean, but that's, again, that's what you do. Here's what I would say to you, Dibs. The bottom line is to do it the other way, I know, is a mistake. This at least opens you up for maybe you hit on the picks, maybe you do find some found money in free agency day 2, 3, 4, and maybe that goes well. But like, for instance, I didn't do it because today was a little bit of a crazy day, but my guys who run that station out in Wisconsin, they texted yesterday. They're like, can you come on the show? The Mason Crosby, the former kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Can you come on the show to talk about Aaron Banks? Do you want to know what I would have said if I had done the interview? Dude, you guys get schnookered.
Yeah.
$77 million?
It doesn't matter the money.
Aaron, of course it does.
All that matters is he a good player?
No,
if you can afford it,
even that is debatable.
Well, then the Niners got schnookered over Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk.
How?
I mean, Brandon Ayuk, he's played 3.5 games or 5 games since you signed him.
Look,
Deebo Samuel, you gave him a fresh deal and fresh money, and then now you traded him for a 5th-round pick and you had to eat $30 million?
Yeah, but Deebo's,
you got schnookered.
But Deebo Samuel was a wonderful 49er for a long time.
Not during the restructure.
That's when you got
schnookered.
That was like $2 in NFL terms.
It was $30 million of a cap hit. So
no, that's an accelerated. It was already going to be 15.
It,
they just moved
it
to 1 year.
The initial contract, I would argue, because they gave him a new contract and
went to a Super Bowl.
And you traded him now.
And came within a breath of winning.
You got rid of him.
I mean,
Trent Williams, you gave him new money, and now he played about half a year. So if you want to talk about getting schnookered, we can go through all the schnookerings. because the 49ers have gotten schnookered themselves.
Who hasn't, Dibs?
That's the point. So for you to
That's not the point.
For you to threaten to go on Green Bay radio and say they got schnookered, he might be an all-pro. You don't know that.
What? Okay.
So how can you go out and preemptively
because
say that Aaron Banks is not going to be that
been.
Good?
Because he's never been.
Well, does
he's
that mean he can't be? Well, is he allowed to be good?
You're going to tell me that in year five, he's suddenly going to become someone he never has been?
He's been a good player.
Jalen Moore doesn't even start, and the Chiefs are giving him $15 million a year to protect Mahomes' blind side? You're telling me that that's a good deal?
Are you saying that a player in a new system, in a new circumstance, can't be better?
Are you saying that you should be taking chances like that with your money when you've already been the top cash-spending team for a number of years in the NFL?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
As opposed
to, let's draft Drake Jackson, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray,
Samuel Womack.
No, I'm just going back.
I'm going draft by draft.
I gave you last draft, and then I gave you the draft before,
and now
I'm going the draft before that, and I haven't even gotten to Brock Purdy.
If I had a dollar for every bad draft pick that every time you mention it, I could retire.
Okay.
But you never bring up the hits.
I always do.
You never do.
False.
And you
We're just going back in time right now. And I just gave you last year's draft where they had six or seven hits. And I had named them. I put their names out there. Yep. I gave it to you.
Yep.
And then I did the year before. And you and I both agreed it was a disaster. And the year before that, I'm just looking at it. I don't have it all committed to memory. I'm not Joe Shasky. I don't memorize all this stuff. I have to look it up. And I look at Nick Zakel and Kalia Davis, who's actually now back with the team, Tariq Castro Fields, and then a guy named Brock Purdy was the saving grace in the whole draft. So you get mega points for that, but by and large, your drafts have been really bad in the last 3 years. We can go back 4 years.
Except for they nailed last year, so not the last 3 years.
Okay, so two of the last three.
Okay.
And so if you're just automatically going to say, I have faith in these guys to just find seven guys this year to plug and play.
Literally started the show by saying I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for now.
And I said at the start of the show that I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt for this very reason.
That's fine, but that's not even necessarily about the process that they're using. I don't think you can categorically say that the 49ers have totally messed this thing up yet when you're staring at a roster and we don't even know who's on it yet. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a hit. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that the final answer is not here yet. So in this moment, the discussion to have is whether or not you give them the benefit of the doubt. You say no.
Right.
I say yes, that's fine. But I'd argue that the reason you're saying no is because you go back in time and you only pick out all the things they've done wrong.
False.
When the other truth is that this is a regime that has been to two Super Bowls in 6 years and is loaded with draft picks that they've wanted to re-sign. Of course, every team screws up picks. It's a total inexact science. I mean, you could do what you're doing right now to any football team, even the best.
Well, let's go to the 2021 draft. And that's the Trey Lance one, and we're going to put that aside because we've all ad nauseum acknowledged what a debacle that was. Aaron Banks in the second round. You didn't re-sign him. Trey Sermon in the third round, he was no good. Jalen Moore in the fifth?
But you want to.
I do want to, but they don't. So you want to talk about process versus results?
Wow.
Draft, develop, and keep. They drafted, and maybe they didn't develop, but they didn't keep. Diamador Lenore in the fifth? Awesome. Hufanga in the fifth? Well, you didn't keep him. Elijah Mitchell in the sixth?
But you wanted to.
I mean, Hufanga?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so
at a lower price?
You see
Elijah Mitchell?
You see what I'm saying about cherry picking?
You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
I'm not cherry picking.
You are. Because
if you just listen, I'll tell you.
I am listening.
If you just take a playoff and listen, what I'm telling you is you drafted all these players who are good enough to get contracts elsewhere, but you decided that you didn't want to give them new contracts.
So then you're going to say that they're bad picks. Even though you think that they should get $77
million. What I'm saying is your process is flawed.
No,
why did you keep Diamador Lenore?
Because he's really good.
Because you signed him 5 months ago, and you got ahead of it. If he would have gone to free agency now, he would have been a lot more money.
He's so much better than the other players you're talking about.
I disagree.
Oh, God.
Well, other teams are valuing these players at a level that you could have. Are you telling me you couldn't have signed Aaron Banks 5 months ago to half of what he got yesterday?
Aaron Banks.
Right. You could have.
Was not good.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
End of sentence.
That's not what Green Bay thinks. A team that's better than you right now.
Oh, they are?
They went further than the playoffs than you last year, did they not?
Yes, they did. So,
there you go.
So that's the end of that.
Right now is all I said. Green Bay was better than you last year.
Yes, and you beat them in the playoffs the year before that.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, last year, they were better than you. They're trending upward, and they think that Aaron Banks is probably pretty good.
Yeah.
So they signed him.
And I think they're wrong. I think it's an absolutely absurd contract for a player who did not perform last year by data and opinion.
My only point in this is that we look at draft classes, and we can look at Ty Davis Price, fine. He was a miss, and nobody else signed him. That's a miss. But when you have Banks and Moore and Hufanga and Mitchell, and they all eventually go elsewhere, that to me is a question mark because, you know, for whatever reasons, Hufanga was hurt, Mitchell was hurt. You signed Lenore early because you think he's amazing, and he probably is really, really good.
Way better player than any of these guys.
Yeah, you signed him early, and yet Banks was able to go out there, and Jalen Moore, a guy you spent fifth-round capital on, and
it's just
you
an
decided that you didn't want to sign him.
Yeah, it's an interesting philosophy that it seems like you're throwing out there, which is if someone else wants him, you should too. Like, I don't care if somebody else wants them.
Yeah.
Somebody else might be in a completely different situation.
They might be.
They might be misevaluating, which would be a misevaluation sensation.
It would be. That's a bug.
They might be overvaluing. They might be stuck in the mud based on positional need. I have no idea. I am not an expert on the Green Bay Packers. I can tell you that if their GM was sitting in front of me, I'd be like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, what do you see in Aaron Banks that no one else saw? Like, Aaron Banks was objectively not very good last year, and their offensive line collectively was not very good last year. So to start throwing massive dollars at underperforming pieces and position groups, to me, is crazy. I just don't know why you would do that.
I just don't know why we would look at a team that drafts, and when you draft well, and you have players that you have for 3 and 4 years, why wouldn't you look to sign them early and keep them as opposed to...
Because they're not good.
Well, and that's your opinion, and it might be their opinion too. And I look forward this year to seeing Jalen Moore on a team that is really, really good every single year, and now he's playing left tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes.
Like, I'm sure
does Kansas City think he's pretty good?
I don't know. I'm sure that he's going to be fine, but it's not even just a matter of, like, do they stink or are they good? It's a matter of what it costs you. Like, there's no way in my mind that Banks plays up to that number. It doesn't mean he's the worst player in the world, but that number is completely out of control. And I promise you, if the Niners had done that, I and many others would be right here on these microphones to criticize that deal. I bet you would too.
No, no chance.
Why?
Because I like Aaron Banks.
You do?
I do.
What do you love about him?
I like that he's got some size, and I like that he's a good run blocker. He's a road grader. And whether or not last year was a down year, you could look at the entire team. And it's not always as simple as, you know, they can't
run. That was not very convincing. Okay. What do you love about the player?
Never mind. I like his feet, Mark. I like his footwork, Mark. I like his hand placement when he pulls.
Let's go to JT.
Just because you can't run the ball doesn't mean that the offensive line is necessarily to blame.
What's up, JT? How you doing?
My ears are hurting. I can't take this no more.
Yeah, save us, JT.
My thing is, I mean, we've been horrible. My thing is, are these guys working from home, or are they actually going out and looking at people to tell me that they're good enough for the NFL? I can't think on top of my head when we had a good draft year. How many times have we missed on wide receivers? You got to be kidding me.
JT, you don't think last year was a good draft?
Well, because Purdy, I mean, not Purdy, but I'm saying you've had a couple of hits, but you can't, when you're having as many picks as you're having and you're missing on the majority of them. I look at how many times have we've put in for receivers. How many times have we had busts in those receivers? How long have we waited to have a number one receiver? That would be the question.
I mean,
before you go, Terrell Owens, that was a long time ago.
No, I mean, if you want to play this, JT, I mean, the numbers that Ayuk put up 2 years ago are commensurate with number one receivers. That was 2 years ago. I know that the story has changed 1,000 different ways, but prior to last season, people were pretty stoked on the Brandon Ayuk pick.
One-year wonder. I mean, honestly, he had one good year, solid, great year. We paid him for that, right? What did you have before that?
Multiple thousand-yard seasons. Deebo Samuel, that's a hit. Juwan Jennings, that's a hit. I like Ricky Pearsall. It's largely a wide receiver room that's been homegrown. No, JT?
No, but you can't say – no, there's no way my boy was a wide receiver. He was a running back.
Who?
He was great in the little 10 yards, Deebo.
Deebo?
He's not enough.
All right. 3 years ago, he caught 1,300 yards. Caught, JT. Again, like, I'm not here to tell you the Niners nail every pick, but my goodness, we get real selective with this. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Steve Kerr in an hour. We'll get to Jonathan Kuminga's return and much more on the Dubs coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.